For many of us, our Christian life moves along from day to day as a rather routine and regular thing. For many of us, church life is just like that. We go to church and we have the same preacher and the same people in the church, the same families sit in the various places. And if we live in a church for any length of time, we see the children coming along. We see them in the nursery and then the beginner primary department, and then they start as juniors. We see them going on up in school, getting into high school. And if we live in a church in a length of time, these seem to be very normal and natural. Certain people are in the church, certain people come to join the church, and then the young people grow up in the church and things go along pretty much as routine. Every now and again, we have an exception. We have some man who lived a worldly life that becomes a Christian. Every now and again, somebody who used to be opposed to the gospel, wouldn't have anything to do with church at all, is converted and comes in. Anytime that happens, is always a matter of stirring in the church. And you know, so far as the Lord's people are concerned, for those who have been Christians all the time, their families were Christian and they've been Christian, the community more or less gets used to them. They know that certain people are church people, that's what they think. And they know that these are religious people, that's what they'd say. And they just kind of expect that. If anyone of that family didn't turn out religious, everybody would talk about it. But if they turn out religious, it's just normal. And that is not always so impressive in the congregation and in the community. Of course, people appreciate it, and they really have a testimony all of their own, but it isn't so striking. Folks get sort of used to it. But when a man comes along who has been a worldly man, a man has been an ungodly person, and this man is converted, changes his ways, starts going to church, tells people about him being saved, it creates a stir, and it does something to people. I think it's part of the Lord's way of attracting attention to the gospel. Something like this happened in the early church when Saul, the Pharisee, who was the noted persecutor of the church, became a Christian. The man that had been the most zealous, I almost said vicious, against the church, is suddenly changed into a man who is the most earnest for the church. I'm using the word church now for the gospel as a whole, in presenting the Lord Jesus Christ to the community. We're going to read about this in the book of Acts in the 9th chapter, when you read on now from verse 20. And we're going to read about this Saul the Pharisee, who had met the Lord Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus, been stricken blind. 3 days later, he had been baptized by Ananias, had received his sight, and had stayed there with the disciples in Damascus. Now verse 20, and straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues that he is the Son of God. Again, I want you to notice the subject matter of his preaching. This man, he didn't have a story to tell about having changed over from being a drunken character into being a godly man. This wasn't the story he had to tell. This isn't the kind of a man who had gambled and had caroused around living an ungodly life, and now he's changed his ways and going to live a more careful, controlled, disciplined, and godly life. This is not this man. He isn't talking about that. This is not the case of a man who had stolen or had committed sin in any gross way, and now he has changed and he's just going to do everything perfect. That's not the way this man talked. This is a man who didn't believe in Jesus Christ. He did not believe in Jesus as the Christ, the Son of the living God. He didn't believe that you'd be saved through him. He believed in God. He believed that you had your dealings with God, but he did not believe that you would be saved through the Lord Jesus Christ. So he was converted, and he understood now that Jesus Christ is his mediator. And when he looks to God and comes to God, he will face Jesus Christ, and he is glad about it. He has been turned over to him. Straightway, he preached Christ in the synagogues that he is the Son of God. This is what he was involved in. But all that heard him were amazed and said, is not this he that destroyed them which call on his name in Jerusalem, and came hither for that intent that he might bring them bound unto the chief priests? In other words, even when he gave his testimony, this is what people said about him. They didn't understand it. Why is he now talking in favor of Jesus Christ? He used to be so dead set against it. But Saul increased the more in strength and confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, proving that this is very Christ. I have read verses 20, 21, and 22 in the 9th chapter of the book of Acts, and it indicates to us that Paul immediately became active in arguing with the people that Jesus really is the Christ. And you see, he was able to do that so fully because that is what had happened to him. He had thought that Jesus of Nazareth was not the Christ. Now he came to believe it, so he wanted to tell everybody else about it. And Saul increased the more in strength. He came to understand the Bible more, and he came to know more about how the Lord Jesus Christ works. And as he came to know these things more, he knew more about the interpreting of Scripture, and he got a hold of the Scriptures necessary, confounded the Jews, that is, he confused them. He frustrated them in a sense. They didn't want to believe. He showed them they had to believe, which dwelt at Damascus, proving that this is very Christ, that this is really the Christ they were looking for, is this Jesus of Nazareth. So we read on in verse 23. And after that many days were fulfilled, the Jews took counsel to kill him. He finally provoked them so much they decided they'd just kill him. But their laying wait was known of Paul, and they watched the gates day and night to kill him. Then the disciples took him by night and let him down by the wall in a basket. And this, of course, is a very human procedure. That's the way they got Saul out of there. But you and I should learn something from that. Have you ever had the idea that if a person were a real Christian and were telling the truth, you should just stand out in front of everybody, stand up to anybody, and no matter what they did to you, you should just take it because that's what you should do? Did you notice what happened here? The Jews were going to kill him, and I can imagine somebody who has never been there in a superficial way saying, well, if Saul was a real Christian, he'd just go out and let them do it. Is that true? Well, now you look here what happened. They watched these Jews that were going to kill Saul. They watched the gates day and night to kill him. In case he ever went out of that city, they were going to kill him. The disciples took him by night, let him down by the wall in a basket. He didn't go through the gate. They let him over the wall in a contraption that they rigged up so as to let him down over the wall with ropes and so on, and he got out of it that way. Now, you could think, if you wanted to, that Saul was a coward. You'd be very foolish. It's not cowardly to be wise. We have a proverb. I don't know whether you like it or not. It sounds sort of flat and maybe kind of empty, but it comes to my mind at this point. He who fights and runs away will live to fight another day. In other words, being a Christian doesn't mean you have to stick in every argument to the bitter end. You might get into an argument as a Christian. The smart thing to do is get out of it. You might get into a situation and arguments raised, and the thing for you to do is withdraw. It isn't important for you to stay there and get beat up about that thing. And here is a very, very important thing. Now, mind you, Saul eventually died for his faith. And different times Saul let it be said in so many ways. We'll read it in the book of Acts when he said he was perfectly willing to die for his faith. But that didn't mean he was going to let the first bunch of hoodlums kill him when he had a whole ministry to perform. Now, you keep thinking about this. It's not important to win every argument. It's not important to stay in every argument until you prove the other man wrong. It's not important to out-talk the other man. There could be times you and I would be smarter. We just withdraw. Get out of the whole business. And that's what he did. The disciples took him by night, let him down by the wall in a basket. That's how he got out of Damascus. Now I read on. And when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he essayed to join himself to the disciples. He wanted to join the church there. But they were all afraid of him and believed not that he was a disciple. Remember, they had heard about him. He was notorious everywhere as being bitterly opposed to the Christians. Now he came along and said he wanted to belong to them. They thought he was a spy, fifth column kind of thing. And they were opposed to him. Verse 27, but Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way, that he had spoken to him, how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. This man Barnabas, you're going to watch him in the book of Acts. For the next few chapters, he's going to be mentioned several times over, again and again. He was a good man. And this is what he did here. He sponsored Saul. The people as a whole said, "That man's dangerous. We're afraid to trust him." Barnabas said, "You don't have to be afraid." And notice how he argued with him. He said, "Saul's been through the kind of experiences that have changed him. He's been through the kind of experiences that mark him." And notice what he mentioned. He had seen the Lord in the way. That's his conversion. He had spoken to him. That's his experience. He had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. That's his public testimony. And that's the ground on which Barnabas said, "You can trust this man. He's had dealings with the Lord. He has had personal fellowship with the Lord. And he has already ministered to other Christian people. And he's a dependable person." And he was with them coming in and going out at Jerusalem. Meaning to say, they took him into the church and let him be there with them. And he spake boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus and disputed against the Grecians. Remember, the Grecians are the Greek-speaking Jews, the Greek-educated Jews. These are the Jews that have been educated in Greek universities and in Greek philosophy. And remember, Paul himself had been. So when they had all their Greek philosophy to hold against the idea of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, Paul knew what they were talking about. He himself had been trained in that. And he disputed with them, which means he argued with them. But they went about to slay him. They tried to kill him there. Which, when the brethren knew, they brought him down to Caesarea and sent him forth to Tarsus. They got out of it. Then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria and were edified, and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost were multiplied. Our God and Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for this record of the early church. We thank Thee for these men and women who served Thee. We thank Thee for this testimony, this servant of Thine, the Apostle Paul, for the way in which he, from the very first, testified to his faith. And Father, we pray for ourselves. Keep us close to Thyself, that we might be found faithful and willing to serve Thee. For Thy name's sake we ask it. Amen.